In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we are looking at Lesson 43, The Moral Virtues, My Catholic Faith. The image at the head of the lesson shows, I guess, a person in a, what do you call those things, a chariot. And the chariot's being pulled by angels. There are six wheels on the chariot. I guess the three that we see are faith, hope, and charity. I assume there's three on the other side. And in the seat or the back of the chariot, we have the four virtues. What virtues are cardinal virtues? Of prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. The caption reads, "The theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity furnish a strong basis for all other virtues. The cardinal virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, temperance are the foundation of all moral virtues. The theological virtues define our relations with God. The moral virtues define our relations with ourselves and our fellow men. If we have these virtues, we are on the way to perfection." Okay, we begin the lesson. Are there any other virtues besides the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity? Besides the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, there are other virtues called moral virtues. These virtues are called moral virtues because they dispose us to lead moral or good lives by aiding us to treat persons and things in the right way, that is, according to the will of God. Moral virtues are opposed to the capital sins. For example, humility is opposed to pride, liberality is opposed to avarice, chastity is opposed to lust, meekness and patience are opposed to anger, temperance is opposed to gluttony, brotherly love is opposed to envy, and zeal and diligence in what is good is opposed to sloth. Moral virtues are an outgrowth and completion of the theological virtues. The theological virtues perfect our interior being. The moral virtues perfect our exterior. If we sincerely strive after these virtues, we are on the road to perfection. The theological virtues affect our relations with God. The moral virtues affect our relations with our neighbor and our own selves. For example, faith makes us believe in the existence of God. Temperance makes us regulate our appetites. Which are the chief moral virtues? The chief moral virtues are prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. These are called cardinal virtues. All other virtues spring from the cardinal virtues. These are called cardinal from cardo, the Latin word for hinge, because all our moral actions turn on them as a door turns upon its hinges. All other moral virtues depend on them. How do prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance dispose us to lead good lives? Prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance dispose us to lead good lives as indicated below. First, prudence disposes us in all circumstances to form right judgments about what we are to do or not do. It teaches us when and how to act in matters relating to our eternal salvation. Prudence perfects the intelligence, which is the power of forming judgments. For this virtue, knowledge and experience are important. Prudence shows us how to leave earthly things in order to earn riches for eternity. It is the eye of the soul, for it tells us what is good and what is evil. It is like a compass that directs our course in life. It is opposed to worldly wisdom. Be prudent, therefore, and watchful in prayers. First Letter of St. Peter, chapter 4, verse 7, prudence is a virtue of the understanding. Second, justice. Justice disposes us to give everyone what belongs to him. It teaches us to give what is due to God and to man. It makes us willing to live according to the commandments. Justice perfects the will and safeguards the rights of man. His right to life, freedom, honor, good name, sanctity of the home, and external possessions. The just man is an upright man. He gives to everyone his due. He gives God worship, the authorities obedience, his subordinates rewards and punishments, and his equals brotherly love. Render to all men whatever is their due, tribute to whom tribute is due, taxes to whom taxes are due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due. From St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 13, verse 7. Third, fortitude disposes us to do what is good in spite of any difficulty. It gives us strength to do good and avoid evil in spite of all obstacles and afflictions. We possess fortitude when we are not hindered by ridicule, threats, or persecution from doing what is right, when we are ready, if necessary, to suffer death. The greatest fortitude is shown by bearing great suffering rather than undertaking great works. No saint was ever a coward. The martyrs had fortitude. Fourth, temperance disposes us to control our desires and to use rightly the things which please our senses. It regulates our judgment and passions, so that we may make use of the temporal things only in so far as they are necessary for our eternal salvation. We have temperance when we eat and drink only what is necessary to sustain life, preserve health, and fulfill our duties. We should strive to be like St. Francis of Sales, who said, "I desire very little, and the little that I desire, I desire very little, and that little I desire but little." However, temperance does not consist in refusing or denying ourselves what is necessary, thus unfitting ourselves for good works. Which are some of the moral virtues? Some of the other moral virtues are filial piety and patriotism, which dispose us to honor, love, and respect our parents and our country. It is, however, no virtue but a sin if we are so prejudiced in favor of our parents that we find no good in others, or if we are so, quote, patriotic that we see no good in other nations. The division and mutual antagonism of nations and peoples in which certain ones profess to find themselves as, quote, superior, can actually not please God. From them come war and revenge. God is Father of all nations and peoples without exception. Second, obedience, which disposes us to do the will of our superiors. Obedience consists not only in doing what is commanded by our superior, but in being willing to do what is commanded. One who grumbles and murmurs while doing what his mother asks him to do is not obedient. Obedience is a virtue only when one subjects his will to that of another for God's sake, not for material or natural motives. Christ is the model of obedience, for he obeyed completely and lovingly, even to the death of the cross. An obedient man shall speak of victory, from Proverbs 21:28. Third, veracity, which disposes us to tell the truth. We should always be truthful as children of God, who is truth itself. Veracity, however, does not require us to reveal secrets or to reply to questions about which the questioner has no right to ask. In cases such as these, we should either remain silent or return an elusive answer. Wherefore, put away lying and speak truth, each one with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. St. Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 25. Fourth, patience, which disposes us to bear up under trials and difficulties. In sickness and ill fortune, in the difficulties of our occupations, in our weaknesses, Let us have serenity of mind for the love of God and bear fruit in patience. St. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Be patient in tribulation, persevering in prayer. From Romans 12, 12. Besides these, there are many other moral virtues. Religion is the highest moral virtue, since it disposes us to offer to God the worship that is due Him. Religion is classed under the virtue of justice. So I mentioned, I believe, last week we were talking about the virtues and the gifts, the graces that the Holy Ghost gives us. And these are gifts that we receive from Him. But when we take these gifts and we begin to develop them, they become virtues. They become good habits. And so we have many different kinds of habits, good habits. And we can look at these from very many different perspectives. But ultimately, they are all together. We can excel in one virtue, but we cannot really excel in that virtue at the cost of another. We can't have charity without hope or without faith. They work together. Now, we can excel perhaps in charity and have that to a greater extent than the other virtues, or vice versa. But they are all present, at least in some degree. And so it is with the virtues. If we're going to truly practice humility, we're not going to be experiencing the vices of anger or lust or any of these other vices, because the other virtues are going to be in their place. They go hand in hand. If we're examining the vices, we can see pride is basically in all of them. Pride, vanity, is at the base of just about every sin that we can commit, as charity is at the head of all the virtues, or all the graces that we give, that we receive from God. And so these habits that we develop lead us in one direction or another. And we need to focus on them, these chief moral virtues, the cardinal virtues, if you will, because these are the hinges upon which our whole moral life swings, I guess. So we have to, I guess, pay attention to these things, to be truthful, to be honest with ourselves, and not really be concerned with what the world is doing. What other people are doing, as I mentioned in my sermons, God doesn't expect us to compare ourselves to our neighbor. When we stand before Him on Judgment Day, it will be useless to say, but this one did that, or that one did that. And our Lord will say, I didn't give you your neighbor as your comparison, as your role model. As a matter of fact, Christ says, come follow me. Take up your cross daily, follow me. Deny yourself. Follow me. Do as I do. Become perfect because your Father in heaven is perfect. So on Judgment Day, we're going to have to stand before Christ, and He's going to have to say, do I see myself in you? Do I see my reflection in you? How have you reflected me? What virtues have you practiced or perfected in your life? And that is what Christ is looking to see, Himself. So, to establish the life of Christ within us, we must deny ourselves, we must set aside the things of this world to love God more than we love anything else, and to develop these habits, these good habits, which we call virtues. In the religious life, we have the three vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And I often emphasize that obedience is truly the greater, if I can say that, because they all have to go hand in hand, are the most difficult to practice. And I emphasize to religious, especially, that obedience isn't just doing what your superior asks. obedience, true religious obedience, is entering into the mind of your superior, knowing the will of your superior, and giving consent to that. So really the superior's command becomes unnecessary, or at least secondary. I know the will of my superior. This is what my superior wants me to do. I must do this. I don't know about many other people in the world, but I find it very unnerving to have a subject constantly coming to me, what do you want me to do? Okay, I did this, now what do I do next? I finished that task, what do you want me to do now? Okay, pick up a broom, clean, get a rag, dust, just do something. Don't bother me, I've got things to do myself. But if you know the mind of the superior, you can suggest that, yes, he doesn't want me to just sweep the floor. Maybe he wants me to clean the whole room when he says sweep, or when he says dust, to do all of these things. And then to do them conscientiously, not just haphazardly to get them over with, but to do really our best, because we're not doing it for the superior, we're not doing it for ourselves, we're doing it for the love of God. And so true obedience is entering into the mind of the superior. What is it that my superior needs me to do? And I think very often a childish mentality enters into us, especially novices, that we want to be so perfect, we're not going to do anything without a command, and you've got to give me an explicit command or else I'm not going to do it. That's not obedience at all. That is not the spirit that Christ came to this world with. So when our Lord came to this world, he came not to do his own will, but to do the will of his Father. And so everything that he said, everything that he did, we can know for a fact, this is what our Father in heaven wanted him to do. And it is not just Christ who is speaking to us and his humanity, but it is God speaking to us. And so as Christ obeyed his Father, and he obeyed Saint Joseph, he obeyed the Blessed Mother, he obeyed the civil authorities, so especially religious, but really everyone is bound to obey someone. We all have an authority over us, and we should not resent that authority, but maybe they're wrong. And if they are wrong and command us to do something wrong, the problem, the burden lies upon the superior who is given the command, not upon the subject who obeys. So we, in religious life, we say we obey in all things except sin. So anything that doesn't go against my conscience, the commandments of God, the rule of the order, I can obey. And that leaves us a pretty wide margin of things that we can do, or the things that we can be commanded to do. Do we have any questions, comments? All right, I just picked on obedience there, but we could go into, as I say, all the virtues and pick them apart. And there is too often the occasion comes where we, through pride or vanity, want to portray ourselves as practicing this virtue or this other virtue, and we put on airs, but when we examine it, start looking in more closely, we see that this is, you know, a Pharisaical interpretation, and so we need to be honest with ourselves, I guess. All right. And I think we'll open up to, no one has any questions. We'll see if Lois has an unrelated question. I don't have my keyboard. I can type to her. I'm assuming she can hear us. Not meant for class. And I guess we will go ahead and we will finish with our act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos et mani et semper. Amen.